Up, everybody got a Bible? Yeah. Hosea, right after the book of Daniel, the first of the minor prophets, is one by the name of Hosea. Hosea chapter 4 tonight. We've opened our Bibles, let's open our hearts. And let me just add this as well. I know you study God's Word, you read the Bible, Lord willing, every day. Always pray before you read. Clear your mind of anything going on and just ask God to reveal through the Holy Spirit what He would have you to see. And so it's always good to pray before you read God's Word. So let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the truth. Thank You for the blessing it is to still have the freedom in America to come here and to gather together as the body of Christ, to carry Bibles, to open Bibles, to study Your Bible, to worship, to sing songs and hymns and praises to You, and still have the freedom to do that in America. And so tonight, with open Bibles and open hearts, I pray that You would speak to us. This is Your Word. This is You speaking to us. And I pray that we would have ears to hear and hearts to receive what You have. Even the difficult things like tonight, where we see that You always have to judge sin, Lord. And so tonight, teach us, challenge us, show us even how to pray for our country, who I believe, according to 2 Timothy 3, that we are living in perilous times. All of the things Paul talked about in that chapter are actually going on in our country, in our world today. And so help us to be ready. Help us to, first of all, know for sure that we know You personally as our Lord and Savior. And secondly, help us to obey Your Word and to walk it out. Thirdly, help us to pray for our leadership, for our nation, for those in office locally as well as in Washington, D.C. And so may we sense the urgency, Lord, of the times in which we live. Thank You for Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the One, the Lamb of God who died for our sins, who saved us. And it's His name, the name which is above every other name. It's the only name, the Bible says, by which we must be saved, the name of Jesus. And so this afternoon or this evening, I pray, God, that You would lead us and guide us through Your Word and speak to us, I pray. And may we sense the urgency in the time in which we live. In Jesus' name, amen. The rest of the book of Hosea deals with judgment. Yes, God is long-suffering, but there comes a point when God's people refuse to repent and return to Him that He has to bring judgment upon them for their sins. They right now, in chapter 4, are waiting for God's impending judgment. And it just seems as though they could care less. That's the scary thing, that God's people, Israel, would not even be concerned with the relationship with the Lord. And even as we saw last week, they could care less about the warning of the prophet Hosea, who was told to take for himself a harlot for a wife as a picture of God's relationship between him and Israel, because the Jews were prostituting themselves. They were going after idols. They had replaced the true and the living God with inanimate objects. Even as Psalm 115 says, that have eyes that can't see, they have ears that can't hear, they have mouths that can't speak. But yet, even today, people worship things that are idols, objects, when we all have the ability and the capacity to worship the true and the living God, to have a relationship with the true and the living God. And so the charge against them, as we see here tonight, is unfaithfulness. They were unfaithful. They were committing spiritual adultery, is what the term is. That's what idolatry is. Idolatry is spiritual adultery. The nation's guilty of spiritual adultery. The nation is filled with spiritual and moral decay. They both go hand in hand. It's amazing what happens when people turn from God. Immorality enters in of all sorts. Drunkenness, you name it. And that's what's happened. Spiritual adultery and physical adultery are alike in many, many different ways. Both spiritual adultery and physical adultery are against God and His law. Is there anything wrong with God's law? Everything that God tells us to do and not to do is for our own good. It's to bless us. It keeps us from harm, and it keeps us close to Him. And when we offend God and break His law in full awareness of what we're doing, it hardens our hearts. And the more we resist His law, and the more we walk in our own ways, the further we get away from Him, and the less sensitive we are to the things of God. And they were fully aware of what they were doing. They were given the law. They were given the priesthood. They were given all that pertains to life and godliness. They had a house of worship in Jerusalem. And now we see here in the book of Hosea that they've come to the place where their relationship with God is broken. To me, that's one of the scariest things. That's one of the things, even though I've been a believer for a number of years, my concern is always that I would never, ever break fellowship with God. That scares me. Why? Because I have the capacity to make wrong choices. I have the capacity to sin. I have a free will. I have a free won't. We all do. And I think it's important. I think that's a healthy fear for all of us. Why? Because the Bible says, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. And how many times do people say, I got this, I can handle this. Even though we have examples all through Scripture of people that have fallen into the snares of sin, but yet people today say, it'll be different for me. I got this. And the next thing you know, it's like, what happened to so-and-so? They've crashed and they've burned. And so both physical and spiritual adultery begin when we divert our affections from one object of devotion to another. Meaning it's like having our object of devotion to loving the true and the living God, and all of a sudden we allow the things of the world to creep in. And it just doesn't happen like that. It's a subtle thing, just like it happens physically in a marriage. It just happens one little thing at a time. When we begin to divert our affections from the one that we love to other things in the world that try to draw us away. I call it entertaining sin or toying with sin. You can't toy with sin without getting burned. Both spiritual and physical adultery involve a slow process of deterioration. It doesn't happen overnight. It rarely is an impulsive thing or a spur-of-the-moment decision. And lastly, before we get into our text, both spiritual and physical adultery create a fantasy of what a new object of affection or love can do for you. And don't we see that happen all the time? The world promises us things that satisfy, that never, ever, ever will satisfy. But yet people are drawn away by these things anyway. They think, it'll be different for me, like I said. So Israel had committed spiritual adultery against God. Hosea's wife was named Gomer. And just as Gomer had committed physical adultery against Hosea, they had departed from the Lord and were committing spiritual adultery against the Lord. And God will no longer have mercy upon them. He will utterly take them away. And that's where we begin in verses 1 to 3. They will be taken captive by the Assyrians. They will be drawn away with hooks in their noses into captivity. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in a nation of men, women, and children, and all of a sudden one day the Assyrians come in, and all of a sudden your daughter and your son and your wife all have hooks in their nose, and they're all being drawn away by these pagans into captivity. Verse 1 tells us, again, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. And you know what? When I read things like hear the word of the Lord in the first verse, I take that personally. Whenever I open the Bible, I want to hear the word of the Lord. He has something fresh and new for me every day. And again, I want to make sure that I'm hearing from Him. And the best way to hear from the Lord is by opening His word. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. The time has finally come. He's got to judge sin. And there is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. How sad. This is Israel. These are God's people. The children of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And it says there's no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. I can't help but think of America. Look what's going on in our own nation right now. We've substituted truth with fake news, haven't we? I never heard that term before 3, 4, 5 years ago. It wasn't even part of our vocabulary. Now it's fake news and it lies. And we don't know what the truth is anymore when we turn on the news. He says there's no truth or mercy. And again, wouldn't you say that in America today we're lacking in mercy? Look at what we're doing to our law enforcement officers. Look what's happening in our borders. Look what's happening with our government officials. It is crazy. It's just amazing. It says there's no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. And that's the number one reason we don't have any truth and we don't have any mercy is because America has turned her back on God. And this is a lesson to America tonight because we see what happened to Israel when they turned their back on God. Do you think it'll be different for us? We have this incredible book to warn us, to challenge us, to show us how to pray. There's no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. That's heavy. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn. And everyone, how much is everyone? Everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Wow. So here's the charges. He tells them straight up. Hosea says, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord has brought charges against you. And one day, those without Jesus Christ will stand before the great white throne judgment of God, and God will bring charges against them. And the Bible says that they will be without excuse. We've all been to court, right? We've all been on jury duty. We've all maybe even had to go to court for tickets or whatever. And I sit there and I just shake my head because every person that walks up to the judge says, guilty, Your Honor, with an explanation. I got news for you. Those that stand before the great white throne judgment will not have an excuse. They will be without excuse. They will not have an explanation. The Bible says their mouths will be shut. That's heavy, man. And so here we have 5 of the 10 commandments that are listed. He let them know exactly why he's got to bring judgment upon them. And notice what he says. There was faithlessness. There was no kindness. There was no knowledge of God in all the land. That's breaking the first commandment, right? You shall have no other gods before me, the Bible says. First commandment. Now, tell me, again, I always like to challenge the congregation. Is there anything wrong with not having other gods than Him? It's a win-win situation when you have a personal relationship with the true and the living God. These other gods with a small g, man, they rip us off in many ways. And some of them we're going to talk about in detail here tonight. What happens when a nation turns their back on God? The second thing is that they were lying. What is the 8th commandment? You shall not bear false witness. Don't lie. He also accused them of murder, killing. That's the 5th commandment. You shall not kill. And then they were stealing. That's the 7th commandment. You shall not steal. And the 6th commandment, you shall not commit adultery. And so verse 2, it says they were swearing and lying, killing and stealing, committing adultery. And so they broke half the commandments there. And tell me, is there anything wrong with not lying or killing or stealing or adultery or having other gods? And God does this for a reason. And so these violations were the reason for the condition of the land. Now that is heavy today because a lot of these godless people, known as liberals, come up with lame brain excuses for the condition of the world today. It even affected the wildlife. Look what it says here in verse 3. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea will be taken away. And there's things going on in the world right now. And what do we blame it on? Global warming. I got news for you. Global warming's coming. Read what Peter says about global warming. It's coming, my friend. But it affects the wildlife, the environment. Hello? And so people today are telling us, well, we need to go green. And they're blaming it on lame brain things that are changing our environment, they say. They're even blaming the cows. I won't go into detail on that one. You probably heard about that one. But people are going, go green. God brings a charge against them. This is the truth. This is not fake news. He brings a scathing rebuke to the religious leaders because they were partially to blame for the condition of Israel at this particular time. And you know what? I'll take a hit. I believe men in the pulpit today are partially responsible for the condition of America today. Number one reason, they're not preaching every bit of this incredible book called the Bible. They become entertainers. They become rock stars and hipsters. And they're not giving people the truth of God's word. Franklin Graham talked about this last week. The worship leader from Hillsong left, turned his back on God now, walked away. People are going, what happened? Then there's another guy that wrote Christian books on marriage and all. He walked away and joined LGBT. My Bible tells me that they went out from us because they were not of us. There's many people in worship ministry today and writing books and even in pulpits today that don't have a personal relationship with the true and the living God. We're raising up entertainers and hipsters and rock stars rather than men who would preach, that would dare preach the whole truth and nothing but the truth of God's word. And so he's going to bring a scathing rebuke against the priests, the religious leaders. The tribe of Levi was entrusted with the Holy Scriptures. And it's a tremendous responsibility for pastors today who are entrusted with the Holy Scriptures. There's a term called defamation of character. You know what that is? That's when you misrepresent somebody else. And there's a lot of guys standing in the pulpit today that are guilty of defamation of character. They're not preaching who God really, really is. The God of the Word. God reveals himself to us through his word. And so ritual prostitution and religious leaders that were backslidden had replaced holy worship. And the nation was in total spiritual and moral decline. That's what happens. If you're not teaching people the truth, then they're going to drift, just like today. People found it easy to condemn Hosea's wife. Oh, you married a prostitute, but they were not so quick to recognize their own unfaithfulness to God. And that's true today. People are walking around pointing the finger at everybody else but themselves. And you've heard me say a million times, I know who the biggest sinner is in this church. Whenever I say that, I see eyes go wide open. I am. Why? Because I know my sin. I don't know yours. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. But when I look in the mirror, I see the biggest sinner in this church. Not that I'm boasting about it, but I know what my sin is, and I deal with my sin. And when we preach the word and teach the word through the power of the Holy Spirit, you deal with your sin. And there's no better place to be. There's no better cleansing agent than the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the washing of the word and the renewing of our mind. People say, oh, you Christians are brainwashed. And I go, thank you very much. I have a dirty brain that needs to be cleaned regularly. And it's the washing of the word that does it, man. Anybody here whose mind doesn't get cluttered and dirty during the day? Oh, my gosh, all you got to do is drive down the freeway. Pollution. All you got to do is turn on the television set for 5 minutes. We got 1,000 TV channels on there with nothing to watch. And I put the block on, everything over PG. And half of the channels are blocked out. Even the titles you can't read. And that's where we are today. Unfaithfulness to God. And I really believe, even as we see here, that a lot of the violence and hatred and even ecological crisis we see in the world and even in America today is brought on by godlessness. That's what happens. Man is prone to unfaithfulness and violence and hatred when they turn their back on God. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve's two sons, Cain and Abel. What a shocker that must have been. When Cain slew Abel, he killed him with a rock. So they had to go and register their rocks after that. Just kidding. Couldn't resist on that one. People think guns kill people today. No, hearts kill people today. Murder is conceived in the heart, and then people have to carry it out. And if you really want to get rid of every murder weapon, you'd have to remove just about everything within reach. Because you read in the newspaper every day, people grab something to kill somebody. And it can be a rock, it can be a hammer, who knows? I mean, it's limitless. And it's because of godlessness in our nation and in our world today. And there is impending judgment if we do not change our ways. Verse 2 again. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint. Have you ever seen a time in America where there's no restraints? It's like, man, anything goes today. With bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away, with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, and even the fish of the sea will be taken away. And so God points out through his prophet that all of these things were being taken away gradually and casually in Israel. And it's so true. Verse 4. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Uh-oh. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night. And I will destroy your mother, speaking of the motherland. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. So God now dials in on the priests, the religious leaders. In verse 4, literally, he's saying, don't point the finger at others. Don't try to pass the blame. Don't try to play dodgeball with me. Because that's what people do even to this very day. The sins of Israel were largely the fault of the priests. That's pretty sad. There was a calling upon their lives. They had led the people in the way of idolatry. They led them away from God into idolatry and sexual immorality. They failed to lead the people in God's ways. The responsibility of the priest or the pastor or the teacher, whoever they are, is to teach and lead and guide the people in all truth in the ways of the Lord. And God does not stand for the blame game. People are blaming the preacher. The preacher is blaming the people. God's not going to buy the blame game. I'm writing this out this week and I'm going, you know what? Baseball used to be America's favorite pastime. Now it's the blame game. Everybody blaming everybody for everything. And if you can't find someone to blame it on, just blame Trump. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even when Bush was in office, they had an earthquake. Remember that? Washington, D.C. had an earthquake when Bush was in office. And so they decided to call it the Bush fault because everything was Bush's fault. And it's the same true today, man. Everybody is playing the blame game. We need to take responsibility for our own actions. You will never be forgiven for your sin until you take personal responsibility for it. And as long as you blame other things and situations and everybody else for your sin, guess what? You will remain steeped in your own sin. Blaming others keeps you from recognizing your need to repent. And God can never, ever forgive you until you repent of your sins. And if you want to try to blame somebody else, you remain right where you are, no change. And we all remember the day that we came to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. I do. It's when I began to take responsibility for my actions, for my sins, for my life, and recognize that it was all my fault and I needed to repent. And when I did, that's when things began to change. That's when the chains came off. You know the story. And so the charges are leveled at the religious leaders. That's heavy. When Jeroboam the first divided the northern kingdom from the southern kingdom of Judah after his rebellion against Solomon's son Rehoboam, and he set up his own religious system, And that's going on today, not only in America, but throughout the world. People are setting up their own religious system. Do you know there are churches today that play on people's senses? Mega churches. They have the lights. They have the laser show. They drop gold glitter over the sanctuary. They have perfume spread throughout the sanctuary to get your senses. To me, you know what that is? It's nonsense. Because if the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is not enough, we might as well shut the doors, my friend. We're not here to get your senses. Because God's Word makes sense. That's the bottom line. It covers everything. So this guy Jeroboam divided the kingdom. He caused division. Set up his own religious system. He made two golden calves. When God specifically said, decaf. He appointed his own priests. And again, people today are choosing pastors and teachers and evangelists to tickle their ears, to tell them what they want to hear. Times haven't changed a whole lot. They were appointed by Rehoboam, and they were not from the tribe of Levi. God very clearly said that the priesthood would come from the Levites. And soon after, they began to worship the gods of Canaan, pagan gods, which led to substituting Baal for God. We've talked about Baal a lot lately. And eventually, they didn't worship God at all. It's like a frog in the water. You know how to cook a frog? You don't boil the water and throw them in, they'll jump right out. You put them in tepid water, room temperature, and then slowly turn the heat up, and he will sit there like in a jacuzzi and boil to death. And that's the enemy works. That's the way the enemy works today. And the next thing you know, it's like, how did I get here? Very slowly. Look at verse 6 again. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Why? Because it's affecting the children, their families of Israel. The priest kept the people from knowing him. That's pretty sad. They were supposed to lead the people into the knowledge of God. And the Bible very clearly says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is to hate all evil. We need knowledge of the Holy One. There's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. There's a lot of worldly wisdom out there, but we're lacking in godly knowledge. It's like what it says in the package of cigarettes. Cigarette smoking is hazardous to your health. That's wisdom. But knowledge is not smoking. And it's one thing to know something, but it's yet another thing to do it. But instead, they were leading the people away from God. And what they were doing as well, they were saying, hey, if the priest says so, it must be true. If the priest does it, it must be okay. And you know how many people in ministry today are stumbling people by the lifestyles that they live? People will watch your walk more than listen to your talk. And look what's going on today. A pastor of a megachurch recently did a wedding for his homosexual son and his partner. And people in this megachurch buy into it. God's word is God's word. That's why a lot of churches are throwing out the Old Testament. That's why we're in the Old Testament, so we can know what God says. Because if you throw out the Old Testament, what do you throw out? Monogamous marriage? Gender? I mean, creation? Right on down the line. So you tell me, is the Old Testament important? You can bet your life on it. There's a tremendous warning to those who teach. And I'm not just talking about from the pulpit. Those who teach others from the Word of God. Pastor, teacher, evangelist, Sunday school teacher, home fellowship. Don't take it too lightly, my friend. Because James 3:1 says that there not many should teach, because if you teach, you shall receive stricter judgment. And that's a scary one. That's a scary one. Why do you think I have it memorized? Because I'm going to be held responsible for every word that I share from his pulpit one day. Verse 7. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. He's speaking of the priest now. They set their heart on their iniquity. And it shall be like people like priest. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. Wow. The sins of the people caused increase. Increase of the corrupt priesthood. The priests were glad when the people sinned. Really? Yeah. You know why? Because every time a person sinned, they brought a sin offering to the priest, and the priest would get a portion of the sin offering. Does that sound familiar? That sounds just like the Catholic Church. You don't have to go to a person to repent. My Bible tells me, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My Bible tells me there's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, and him alone. And there's too many people being ripped off. I got news for you. You can bring in a Brinks truck filled with $100 bills and dump it right in front of this podium, and guess what? It won't do a thing for your sin. Matter of fact, I tell the Brinks truck guy to get the heck out of here, because there's only through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ can our sins be forgiven. How sad it is that the priests were, bring it on, bring in your sin offering. And the more the people sinned, the more the priests received. And we got the same thing going on today. They call it penance. God wants repentance, not penance. There's not enough money or enough gold in Fort Knox to forgive even the least of sins. And every sin is sin in the eyes of God. And so instead of trying to lead the people out of sin by giving them the Word of God, and that's what happens, people come for counseling and people come to me and they're broken, they're in sin and stuff, but you know what I do? I lead them to the Word of God. You can be forgiven right now, and it's through the Word, not me. I'm just the mailman. You know, it's too many people look to flesh and blood for forgiveness. They look to Mary. They look to, you know, everything and anything other than Jesus Christ and him alone. And the priest encouraged the people to sin so that they can increase their profits. That's pretty sad. God's going to judge all of this one day. Verse 9. And it shall be like people, like priests, and so I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. You know, everybody is accumulating wages. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. There's a price to be paid for every sin. Man. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. And again, we're still talking about the priests here. What the priests do, the people do. And God says he will punish both the priest and the people for what they do. Again, the wages of sin is death. Sin never says enough. Sin never satisfies. And all because they cease to obey the Lord, and all because they've deserted the Lord for other gods. What a lesson this is to all of us. There's a price to pay when we turn our backs on God and desert him for other things that never, ever, ever satisfied. I guarantee every one of us in this room has been at a place in our lives where we pursued something in this world and it left us empty. It doesn't satisfy. It never, ever, ever satisfies. That's the way sin is. It doesn't satisfy. If it did, you'd only do it once. You'd never do it again, right? But it starts with a little, like an eyedropper. Then the enemy comes with a cupful, and then a bowlful, and then a bucketful. And next thing you know, he came in like a flood. And you go, how did I get here? Well, it started a little eyedropper. Same today. They call it gateway. Oh, just take a hit of this joint. It's fine. Everybody's doing it. It'll relax you, man, and make you be cool. And next thing you know, it's a gateway for the next step. How do I know? I've been there. I've been there. It just about destroyed my life, my marriage, my family, everything. And it started with a little bit, having fun. Their hearts were enslaved. Look at verse 11. Harlotry, wine, new wine, enslave the heart. Would you say that's true? My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. For the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. Wow. It says their hearts were enslaved. And that's what the enemy wants to do out there. He wants to take you captive. They're being held captive, it says, by sexual immorality and drunkenness. And look at our nation today. We're being held captive by sexual immorality. We really are. It's in everything. And we're being held captive by drunkenness. And we're being held captive by opioids and cannabis and all this other stuff. And we think that if we put recreation in front of it, that God approves of it. Think about it. They call it recreational sex. They call it recreational marijuana. Okay, so it's cool, right? Because it says recreation in front of it. I got news for you. It's not recreation. It's a wreck, period. And they were bowing down before wooden idols and inanimate objects as their God, seeking counsel. That's pitiful. Where it says the staff was what we would call a divining rod today. You ever heard that term? A wooden stick. And with it, they were trying to tell the future. Crazy. Today, what are we doing in America? We've replaced the wooden idols and inanimate objects and staffs and wooden sticks with psychics. You can pretty much go to every mall and find a psychic today. Tarot cards, fortune tellers, diviners, even horoscopes, crystals. See people with dream catchers hanging from their mirror. Dream catchers that catch dreams when you drive down the road. And yoga. Now, the exercise of yoga is good for your body, but that's just to get a foothold, to get you into meditation, get you into chanting to false gods. And there are many churches that are embracing yoga today. The goddess Asherah, I've mentioned her before. She's the goddess of sexual immorality and fertility. That's where we get the word Easter from. I don't celebrate Easter. I don't celebrate Asherah. I celebrate Resurrection Day. I celebrate Passover, because that's exactly what it is. The Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, came and died and rose from the grave to put away the sins of the world once and for all. And what do? We bring Asherah or Easter in. That's why there's bunnies. What do bunnies do? They multiply like crazy. What about eggs? That's a sign of fertility. It's a pagan holiday. And so the goddess of Asherah, they were worshiping, the goddess of sex and fertility. And you know what? She's still being worshiped today. As sexual immorality and the worship of sex has consumed our nation. You can hardly turn on television anymore without a commercial that points to some sort of flesh. Crazy. And our children are being programmed with the world out there. I'm amazed how the price of women's clothing is going up, but yet the material they use is going down. Using less and less material. There's a lot of flesh being exposed. It's crazy, man. The spirit of harlotry has caused us to stray, and America is playing the harlot against God today. You know what? It's so bad, I can't even mention the TV commercials I see, because I don't want to be vulgar from the pulpit, and you've seen them. And I sit with the changer, and I'm embarrassed sitting there with my wife and my kids and grandkids going, oh, man, again. And that's just the baseball game, you know? It used to be they couldn't show dirty stuff till after 9 o'clock. Are you kidding me? It's 24/7 now. I'm shocked at what I see. I'll move on. I don't need to expound on that. You know what I'm talking about. Verse 13. They offer sacrifices on mountaintops and burn incense on the hills under oaks and poplars and terebinths. because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters commit harlotry, and your brides commit adultery. And so they would go up on the tops of hills. And when you read the Old Testament, 1st, 2nd Kings and other books, it shows how when a good king would come in, he would go up on the mountaintop and destroy all of the idolatrous pagan things. For some reason, they would go to the high places for pagan practices and idolatry. And they would offer sacrifices to idols in high places. Incense, it talks about here, it inflamed the senses. Today, like I said, in churches, incense. And their daughters, it says, were turning to prostitution. Brides were committing adultery. Wow. And look what we have today. We went on vacation last week to Nevada to visit my brother. And we go to play golf, and right next to the golf course is a great big sign of a house of ill repute, right there, wide open. Amazing. We have prostitution that's legal in America today. It's crazy. And don't think we don't have it here in Southern California. You can go in the Yellow Pages, and there's page after page after page of female escorts. Hello? That's where we're at today. And when I look at the prostitution and the porn stars and all this other stuff, you know what immediately comes to mind? This is someone's daughter. This was someone's little baby. The mother nurtured and raised and took care of. And the nation in which we live, because we allow these things to happen, is turning our kids into sexual immoral people and prostitutes and porn stars and all this other stuff. These precious little baby girls were once nurtured and cuddled by a mother and just praying that there would be something just incredible in this little girl's future. Mommy's little princess and daddy's little girl. Now a prostitute and a porn star and a harlot and a whore. Part of unholywood. Hollywood is a pit. Even the awards of the night, which I don't watch, but you get some little harlot up there that's talking politics. What right does she have with her lifestyle to get up and use that as a pulpit to talk about the condition of our nation today? I won't name her name, but you know who she is. It's tragic. I could name names right now, and immediately you'd know exactly what I'm talking about. How did we get here? I can tell you exactly how we got here. We turned our back on God in America, for the most part. Brides committing adultery, leaving their husbands, breaking the marriage covenant, playing the harlot against God. And again, where's the commitment in marriage today? Holy matrimony. Marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant between you and God. Verse 14. I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with the harlots and offer sacrifices with a ritual harlot. And therefore, people who do not understand will be trampled. God's basically saying, why should I punish them when the men are doing the same thing? But he is going to punish them both, sinning with harlots and shrine prostitutes. Do you know they had temple prostitutes in those days? They would come down into the city and seduce the men. That was their religion of Canaan. It says, those that refuse to understand, those that refuse to take heed will be destroyed. Why? Because sin always destroys. You know, I know this is a heavy message tonight, but this is God's word. And I think he's sounding an alarm to our nation today. We need to pray like never before for our nation. I'm older than a lot of people in this room tonight, but I can tell you a time in America when we were fairly moral, especially on TV. You watch Ozzie and Harriet, and it shows they got twin beds. Now it's like, man, they leave nothing to the imagination. They were family. They were tight. Their children were trained up in the proper way. We like to watch the old programs now, Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best and all that. They're not perfect people, but that was a time when we were moral in America, and it's vanished. God now sends a warning to Judah, the southern kingdom. Why? Because he doesn't want them to get tainted or get infected by the northern kingdom. That its priests must not become like those in the northern kingdom. And God warns them. Verse 15. Though you, Israel, that's the northern kingdom, play the harlot, let not Judah offend the southern kingdom. Do not come up to the Gilgal, nor go up to Beth-Aven, nor swear an oath, saying, as the Lord lives. Don't be drawn in. And it's so true that God was concerned that they would be infected by the priests of the northern kingdom. Why? Because the priests, the corrupt priests, could speak the jargon. Oh yeah, as the Lord lives, brother. You know, we hear a lot of that today. There's a lot of people in ministry that call me brother that aren't my brother. Really? Yeah. I know the wolves. I know the fakes and the phonies, and I'm not judging them, but I know where they stand. Don't call me brother if you're not my brother. Because the Bible says, unless you have the Son, you don't have the Father. He who has the Son has the Father also. And if they're not born again and have a personal, loving relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not family. That's just the way it is, man. I you know what? I don't use the term flippantly, bro. How you doing, bro? Because not everybody's my bro. And then they come up with, hey, brother from a different mother. You've heard that one. We may be from a different mother, but we can have the same Father. And that's the all-important thing, that our Father in heaven is the same Father. That's the bottom line. Man, the jargon that goes around. I'm not one to flippantly use the lingo that people use today. Notice I used a 60s word with lingo. That's how far back I go. But I'm very, very careful when it's reference to family. We're family. We were talking recently with someone, maybe in the office, about, you know, when we first got saved, our brothers and sisters in Christ were closer than our physical family that didn't know God. It's amazing how we have that connection now through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so here he warns these guys, don't get involved. Don't go get infected by the northern kingdom. Why? Verse 16, for Israel is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage, which means to graze, like a lamb in open country. Ephraim is joined to idols. He's warning them. Let him alone. Don't go there. Their drink is rebellion. They commit harlotry continually. Her rulers dearly love dishonor. How sad. He's talking about the religious leaders up there. That's tragic. Look what they're involved in, idolatry and drinking and harlotry and dishonor. It says, the wind has wrapped her up in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. When he talks about the wind wrapping her up in its wings, that is when Assyria is going to come and ravage the land. And they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. They were offering ungodly sacrifices to false idols. And God warned these guys in the southern kingdom, don't go north, don't follow them. And I think there's a lesson to the church today as we close. Don't follow the world. Make sure that you get into God's word. His word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. There is nothing that you and I face in this world today that God will not give us instruction in how to deal with it. These are the words of wisdom. God's knowledge. It's a warning. Don't follow the world. It's a warning for our nation. Don't follow after the things of the world, but we are. And it goes back to verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priests for me. And that's what's going on today. We're facing destruction. People's lives and marriages and relationships are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the Word of God. This is all we need right here. It covers it all. Recently on Sunday, we've talked about Spirit-filled life. You want to have a great marriage? Be a Spirit-filled Christian. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That means die for your wife. Wives, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. It makes for a great marriage relationship. And if you're both submitting to one another, it's a marriage made in heaven. Children, obey your parents as unto the Lord. Would you say that's important? Would you say we're lacking in that today? I talked about it Sunday, where people are more interested in listening to Sigmund the Fraud or Dr. Spock than they are the great physician. And I mentioned how children are like riverboats. To keep them on course and keep them going straight ahead, they must be paddled from behind. And there's a lack of discipline in our nation today. People don't discipline their children. I am so grateful. I didn't understand at the time, but my dad disciplined my brother and I. We could hear the belt come off. We would be terrified in the room. We heard the belt come off. He wouldn't abuse us, but he would spank us. And my brother and I were in the same room, and here's, I probably shouldn't even say this. My dad would leave, would start snickering and laughing, and he'd hear us come back and do it again. We'd get it twice. But God's people are perishing due to lack of knowledge. And God wants us to know Him and to know His Word and know how we can dwell in unity with one another, loving one another. America doesn't have a skin problem. America has a sin problem. And that's the bottom line. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the truth. And God, I just can't help but pray for this nation that I love. I love our flag. I love our president because You command us to love and to pray for those in office. And I pray in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit that You would turn this nation back to You. If My people who are called by My name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I shall hear their prayers and I shall heal their land. And that's what we need, Lord. We need to turn from our wicked ways and turn back to You. And yes, there's some heavy stuff in Your Word, but I think it's important in the times in which we live. Help us to take heed. Help us to sense the time in which we live and the urgency. And rather than to murmur and complain, to pray, to intercede in prayer. Because when we intercede for anybody, any person that we name that we intercede for, You are looking at that person while we're praying for him. That's incredible. And so we do pray for our president, vice president, everybody in office. Every level. Convict their hearts, God. Open their eyes, I pray. America will never be great again until You are Lord and God again in this nation. So help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. One more song.